Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 52. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff. This is take two of the show. Jeff, he's been busy, but he has recently seen Clear History on HBO, which I don't know anything about, so.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it either, but my buddies, like, made me watch it. I didn't really want to, but it's a Larry David film. And it's directed by Greg Batala, who did a movie I really like called Adventureland. Like, I really
liked
that movie.
I liked Adventureland. That was good.
He also did Paul, which I didn't like.
I didn't like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, happy to report. This one is actually, I thought it was really funny. It's basically, all right, let's put it right at the top. Like, if you like Larry David, like, if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm, you'll probably really enjoy it. It's, you know, it's the same type of humor.
It's a little bit dry. F-bombs.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe his humor, but it's very, you know, it's kind of like Seinfeld was, too, where it's just like, this asshole guy. I don't know. But anyways, he plays a guy who worked, I think I want to say it's like a some sort of big advertising firm, or, oh no, it might have been like for a car company. I don't know how it works, but basically, he works at this place. He was a marketing guy. John Hamm was, like, running the place. And, like, they were coming out with this car. Like, it was, like a tiny little, maybe a smart car. I don't know. But it was called the Howard. And Larry David goes all in. And he's like, dude, that's the dumbest name for a car ever. Like, in a meeting and stuff. And, like, bad-mouthing it and shit. And John Hamm pulls him aside. And John Hamm, like, fires him. So, like, he loses his stake in this, and the car ends up being, like, a huge success. And so he goes, and, like, you see him 10 years later. He looks completely different. He looks like how Larry David does now. Like, at the beginning, he had, like, long hair. He looked like a hippie. And he's, like, works as, like a nanny or something. And not a nanny. What would you call it? Someone who takes care of, like, an old person? Caretaker?
Yeah. Adult caretaker.
Yeah. And in Martha's Vineyard, he's changed his identity, so, like, hence the name of the movie, Clear History. But then John Hamm, like, moves into Martha's Vineyard, and, like, you know, he can't take seeing this guy at, like, parties and stuff, so, like, he starts to devise a plan to get rid of John Hamm. That's basically, like, the plot of the movie. It's kind of a flimsy plot, but it has, like, a big all-star cast, and it's funny. It's, like, consistently funny throughout. You have Michael Keaton as this crazy guy who likes to blow things up, so you can probably maybe figure out how he plays into it.
Okay.
Danny McBride is his friend. Amy Ryan as his ex in Martha's Vineyard, like, this girl that he dated for a while, who, there's a great running joke with her about how she blew Chicago, the band, like, she blew all of them, and he finds this out, and he's all upset about it. Who else? It's like Bill Hader, Phil Baker Hall, Kate Hudson plays John Hamm's wife. Like, it's got a really good cast, and it's pretty funny throughout. Like I said, the plot is kind of just there so they can have a bunch of funny shit happening, you know? I enjoyed it. I would say watch it if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I might give it a go.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I have HBO. Hopefully it's on HBO Go, so.
Should be.
Pop it in and go. So basically, if you're into that type of comedy that he's known for, go for that though. So
right. Yeah, cool. And if you like Michael Keaton playing crazy characters, which I do.
I do like Michael Keaton. I haven't seen him in a long time. Like
Step Brother or not Step Brothers. The other guys. Remember he was like the.
Yeah. He was the lieutenant or whatever, right?
Like, yeah, he like had a side gig at like Bed Bath.
Yeah.
Like he's great at playing this. Oh, there's also I don't know how to say his name. Liv Schreiber. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
It's like this fucking like Russian dude that's trying to get money from Larry David. It's pretty great. I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny throughout.
I'll have to check it out. I saw a pair of movies. One was came up discussing the last time we recorded. We were talking about Alexander Aha, who has done some of our favorite horror movies over the last few years. He directed Mirrors, which I had never seen. I gave that a shot. That's a weird movie. I'm not sure if I liked it or not. It definitely does not line up with his other horror films, though. I mean, outside of the fact that it is horror, it does not line up with what he normally does, though. It's just really weird. It's a weird ghost tale, and I'm not a huge fan of ghost stories, so really strange. Keith Sutherland basically plays like this museum security guard that ends up being haunted by this creepy mirror. So,
what the fuck?
It was really strange. And the mirror could then attack his family just because there were reflective surfaces in, like, everywhere. I mean, there's reflective surfaces anywhere, and basically the evil spirit could jump from reflective surface to get at you. So it was really kind of strange.
Weird. I don't know. That was like a straight-to-video one, too, pretty much, right? Like,
yeah, I think it did get a theatrical release, but I don't think it did particularly well.
Yeah, I remember I had it on Netflix for a long time. Never watched it. Was that what you watched it on, was it Netflix?
No, I watched it on Amazon.
Yeah.
On instant streaming, so. Yeah, I don't recommend that one, though, so.
I will gladly continue skipping it.
Yep. Other movie I saw was, The Last Exorcism 2, Part 2.
Yeah.
You liked The Last Exorcism, right?
Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty excellent.
Yeah, I liked it, too. Found footage film. Really interesting premise. Great setup in that film. This follows the possessed from that movie.
Okay.
But it's not found footage. And so it's just a regular kind of like standard cinematic process. And one, I don't think there's much reason for it, but it's really not good. It's really, really bad. After the events of The Last Exorcism, this girl has been moved to kind of a house for girls in Louisiana, like a halfway house or something. She's gotten a job. She's moved on with her life. She doesn't remember a lot of what happened, but she starts seeing visions. Like, she sees her dad, who died.
Yeah, yeah.
And he keeps, like, talking to her and saying how, you know, the demons are coming to get her. And you just start seeing, like, she starts seeing weird things, but nobody else is seeing them. Like, she'll get up at night, and one of the other girls in the halfway house, she sees her having, like, a, she actually sees her floating in the air, and her back is all cracked, and, she starts screaming, and when she starts screaming, like, the girl starts going into a seizure, and that's what everyone sees. So she seems like she's crazy. Then they tie some voodoo nonsense into it, where they try and cast out the demon, and it's really, really weird and kind of unnecessary. It makes perfect sense why it was released in January, because that seems to be the dumping ground for horrible, like, horrible horror films.
That Texas Chainsaw movie, dear God.
That was better than this.
Get out of here. I thought that was the worst movie I've seen probably all year.
Well, don't watch this then, because that will this will gladly take that spot. Yeah, it's not a good movie, not a good continuation either. Still produced by Eli Roth though. Weird.
It's sad because I thought they had a strong brand there. Like, but that said, the first one didn't need a sequel.
Right,
it really didn't.
Right.
But like, they could have at least tried to honor it in some sort of way. Like, the first one was a really great movie about a guy who was a fake, basically showing that he was fake, and then
running
and then the
into
whole time,
something.
Yeah, like it was about the priest or whatever he was.
Yeah, the exorcist who was like the whole reason he had this documentary crew with him was trying to prove that he was a fake, that this stuff is fake, and it went the other way on him.
Well, but the whole movie, you were like sitting there going, man, like, I don't know whether, like, it's real or not. You know, like, you didn't know whether she was actually possessed.
Because they do a lot of great things where there is ties that kind of makes it seem like she's being molested or by her family, or that she maybe had been kind of, like, molested by other church members. Or,
yeah.
Like, just stuff that actually makes sense on a logical level.
It was a really smart horror movie, you know?
And then they hit you with the actual twist of she actually is possessed, and like, that's when the scares ratchet up, and
it was a little goofy, but, like, dude, if a horror movie is that smart for, like, I don't know, 80% of its running time, and then it gives you some fun, like, action and stuff at the end, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I think
it's perfectly fun.
Yeah.
This has none of that. It's not a smart horror film. It's very cliche in just about every respect, and it doesn't pay tribute to the original outside of the fact that it, you know, continues this character's story. There was no need to continue that character's story. As you said, there was no need for it to be a sequel.
Yeah.
The film was called The Last Exorcism. Like,
it's true.
You don't need a 2, like, it's kind of dumb. So, yeah, I was hoping it would, you know, maybe not be as bad as the critics had said, but it's pretty bad. Maybe not as bad as the last year's The Devil Inside, but,
I never watched that.
But it's up there, so.
I stayed far away from that.
Yeah, that was a good call on your part. The only other thing we've really seen is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Now two episodes in. I've really enjoyed the first quarter of this final run, I guess.
I thought, like, you know, you had that first episode, which was kind of just like, this is what's going on with the characters, and then they fucking hit you with that ending where you're like, oh, shit, like, they're not going to waste any time with cat and mouse, right?
Right.
And then this one was just, I thought it was pretty fucking intense. From start to finish, like, a lot of big moments that we've been kind of waiting for, where, like, you know, Marie knows, and she goes and talks to Skyler, and, by the way, that scene I thought was really good, the way, like, Skyler acted in that scene, or Anna Gunn acted, I should say, but.
Yeah, it was actually very well put together, there, and just the whole scene with the baby was like, there's this unnerving tension, like, between these two sisters, and
you knew she was going. And then I thought it was like a funny kind of like little joke about Marie's klepto, you know?
Right.
She likes to steal stuff.
She's just stealing the baby, and then it was like just the back and forth, though, where she's like, I'm going to call the cops. Like, you go ahead, you call the cops.
Yeah, you call
then.
The cops. And they're just, like, screaming at each other. And then Hank, who wanted to steal kids, is like, dude, give the baby back, give the baby back, you know. Yeah, that was a really, really intense scene. I thought probably one of the best scenes, though, was, like, really early on when Hank's, like, walking out of the, or not, I'm sorry, Walter's walking out of the garage.
Yeah.
Like, right following, basically, the first episode. And he gets in his car, and right away he's trying to call Skyler, and you see the garage door open back up, and Hank's on the phone with Skyler. I was like, man, dude, that was intense. And then the whole Hank trying to convince Skyler to turn on her husband, and she didn't. For as much as people hate Skyler, she didn't do shit.
But she was smart in protecting herself. I don't know if she was protecting Walt so much as herself. She knows she's, like,
she's an accomplice.
Right. She knows what Walt was doing and didn't turn him in.
And she helped launder the money.
Right.
She was running the car wash, and she knew exactly, and she was the one taking care of the money in the storage unit.
So at this point, she has just as much to lose as Walt does, and Hank keeps promising her, oh, no, nothing's going to happen to you.
He doesn't know. I mean, I'm sure he's sincere in what he says, but he doesn't know that she was a part of it at some point. Like, she did become a part of it.
Right.
The other thing about her, too, is it did seem to me like she genuinely, like, loves Walter still. Like, the whole part where he passes out in the bathroom.
Yeah, when he passes out, yeah. She did sit there and take care of him.
It was cool, too, how Walter kind of went back to why he started all this in the first place, where he's like, dude, he's like, I'll give myself up if you keep all the money, which you can't do. That's not going to work.
Right, right. You know? And when she logically was thinking and knows that as well, like, you can't give yourself up because then you will lose all the money. And
yeah.
But you did. Like, you go back to that first episode of the series and you see why he starts doing this. And it was always, for him, it was always the reason that he started it was about his family. And yeah, there's that part with Skyler, but the more telling part was when he's sitting in the office with Saul, and Saul is basically telling him, like, well, off him.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he won't do it. Like,
he's like, no, dude.
Hank is my brother-in-law. He's family. Like, and it's like, Hank is going to be your downfall. Like, if you were to just get rid of him, you could get away with this no problem.
The thing is, though, I wouldn't put past Walter to kill him, like, at all, you know?
Right.
Or kill Jesse, honestly. Like, Walter is capable of killing just about anybody. He's a sociopath. Like, I get it. Like, I think that's him still trying to be like, I'm a normal guy again, you know?
He's just trying to justify it to himself, yeah.
Yeah. But I think push comes to shove, he will totally kill Hank if he has to. And I think he may have to kill Jesse.
But it's spinning so far out of his control at this point, though, because, like, I mean, the ending scene is Hank going in to interrogate Jesse at the office, and, I mean, Marie now knows. So, like, if Hank ends up dead, like, Marie can easily go and tell everything that she knows. So,
well,
like,
if they both got in an accident.
Right, like, but, like, these accidents are going to have to start piling up around Walter, because...
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that, like, this is spiderwebbing out all the way.
I'm loving how quickly it's really falling apart. Like, it's going very quickly from, you know, we had the first episode where he's trying to live a normal life again, he's made all his money, he's out of the business, to, oh shit, he's gonna turn into the Walter we see in the future, like.
Right, and on some level, like, you're like, they're not gonna do it that quick. There's no way they're gonna, but, they have to.
They have to.
Really, it's like, it's hard to believe, but there really are only 6 episodes left. There's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, like, I feel like every episode is going to be kind of like how this one was, where, like, the depths of madness, like, how quickly it goes there. Like, I don't know. Like, I could see by the end of the next episode, you never know, Jesse could be dead. Like, that's how quickly I see this shit going. So.
Right. Well, I honestly thought, I mean, I haven't watched it, but what's it called? Talking Bad?
I haven't watched that either.
Yeah, I just know that from leaving Talking Dead on after The Walking Dead, I never actually, like, sat down to watch it, but when somebody would die, they would have them on the show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Aaron Paul was the star of, like, he was the guest star on this last.
Yeah, last.
And I was like, are they, like, is that what's gonna happen? Like, as we're watching the show, 'cause we're like, we're gonna have Aaron Paul, and I'm like, holy shit! Like, are they gonna kill him? Like, no way. Because if Jesse's gone, like, Walter's conscience is also gone.
Yep. Oh man, I don't know. All I know is what we have. What, 6 episodes left? So holy shit!
Yeah.
Oh, the amount of ground they have to cover.
And where's Walt Jr.? What's up with
him?
Yeah,
he isn't. Well, wait till he finds out.
Right, and how does he find out? Does Hank tell him?
Does he find out on the news? Because, you know, it's going to be public information. Not too long from now, everyone's going to know who he is, you know?
Right.
That is really cool that they let us in on that. Like, they're letting us know that, so, like, they have to build suspense out of other stuff, too. Like, we know he's going to be found out. He's going to be in a very different, like, desperate situation, but as much as how is that going to happen. You know?
Right. Like, I know some people were slightly disappointed by the opening to this portion of the season. You know, I heard them on Twitter saying that maybe too much information was given. We know too much, but I think as each episode has gone on over the last, like the last 2 weeks, we know very little about how any of this is actually going to play out. So,
like we know he's going to be in a very desperate situation, but we don't know any of the details.
Right.
I think I like that they give us that knowledge kind of beforehand, so that we're like, oh man, like what's gonna, like we're sitting here debating, like, oh, like, well, how, like, he's gonna have to fucking kill Jesse and this and that, like everything's gonna go very, very, and you know that everything was gonna go terribly bad for him. Like we've known that since the beginning of the season. Since the beginning of season 5, you know.
Right.
And what sense would it make for it to be a happy ending? It doesn't.
No. this story doesn't seem like it has a happy ending.
Yeah.
Nor
it shouldn't. He's done very, very horrible things. You know?
The one thing I can't wrap my head around, though, is what the fuck does Lydia have to do with any of this? Because she seems out of place to me.
Well, she's basically running the business now that he had, well, that Gus had set up.
Right.
And, it's clear to me that she's, like, very, like, and she was in the first half of season 5, very willing to kill people to run it, but it's kind of weird that, you know, she does this hit on these guys because they're making, she basically wanted to get the chemicals back from them, right?
Yeah.
That they had sold these guys this chemical, and they were producing shit meth, and she wants to sell it to the Czech Republic, and they won't accept that. So she goes and fucking just kills all these guys with Todd, who, like, still creeps me out. So, and then when she walks out, she covers her eyes and makes herself look weak in front of the people who she's, you know,
right.
In charge of.
Like, the one guy, actually, like, when Todd is kind of walking her through it, he's such a weird creeper.
He's a creepy dude, yeah.
And, but he's walking her by, and one of the dudes, he's an older guy, he actually shoots the head thug from the other gang.
Yeah.
He shoots him in the head, but when he's walking by, he's like, are you kidding me? Like, they just performed this hit, and the lady that ordered it is basically like, she won't even look at it.
Yeah, like, she's comfortable with ordering it, like doing those decisions, but she can't deal with the reality of it, of actually seeing it. Like, Walter had no problem walking up to some dude and shooting him right in the head, you know?
Right.
Which, and she just seems way too kind of nuts or something. I don't know what the right word is, like, flaky or something. Like, I always had a bad feeling about Lydia. Like, she's big trouble, and I feel like she's going to be trouble for Walt at some point, where she'll be like, well, you have to cook for me, or I'm gonna kill you.
Right.
Or I'll go, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. You know, like where she threatens him, and he has to like do like another cook, which would be insane, considering what's going on. But she has to factor. Like, why would they show her at all, really, if she's not gonna factor into?
Yeah, no, she has to factor in some way. It's just piecing that together that's really kind of boggling my mind right now. It's like, because he's out. Jesse and him are out. Like, there's no need for it.
She's already gone to him once asking him to cook. So, I see her being a very big problem for him. How exactly? That's
yeah.
The question. How?
Especially since he has other problems that are probably bigger than
Jesse. Yeah, than her. Yeah. He's got Hank up his ass.
Yeah. And Hank, who I don't know if he's ready to go and present things to his boss yet.
He will once Jesse talks.
Yeah, if he can get any information out of Jesse, he will definitely be going in. But he's also under the, probably rightly, that if he goes and he reports this, like, his career's over. Like, even if he brings all this evidence, who's gonna trust him being as his brother-in-law was the guy he's been chasing for these past few years.
I like, too, how they, like, actually said that. I didn't think that the show would go through the logic of that, but it's like, yeah, dude, you look like an idiot for not knowing this, you know?
Right.
At the same time, though, if he's the guy that busted Heisenberg, you never know. Like, I think he's thinking, well, at least if I go in with the strong evidence and I make my case to these guys and I explain to them, like, how I could miss it, maybe they'll, you know, they'll see it as a good thing that what he did. But yeah, I mean, who knows?
He knows he's in trouble.
He's such a, like, he's got that strong sense of duty as a cop that he'll still do it no matter what. He just needs that evidence, you know?
It's funny though, because, like, Marie wanted him to go immediately, and she kind of had a point as well. Like,
if you wait too long,
then it becomes like you're an accomplice as well, and you're going to end up in jail. It's like that they're all playing a very dangerous game.
And those are all, I think, valid opinions. Like, I think what Hank said is right, I think what she said is right, too.
Right.
It's a fucked up situation that probably no one has ever been in before, but...
Like, and the four of them, Skyler, Walt, Hank, and Marie, are all playing this really... Like, they're all on a tight wire. Like,
yeah.
And it's seeing who falls first.
I can't wait. I would pay money right now. I'd watch them all tonight. I'm gonna fuck.
I would do that as well. So yeah, I've never sat through this. Like, you've done it weekly.
It sucks.
Throughout the run, and this is the first time I've actually sat down and watched it on a, you know, week to week basis, and it's like, you do. There's like, you just think of these crazy, like, twists and, like, you know, plot threads that could happen, and it's like, I want to know what happens. You gotta give it to me.
Right. It's like, the week wait is so unbearable, and then, like, all day Sunday, you're just like, Breaking Bad. Like, I sit there and, like, I'm like, four more hours. I need to know. And it ends so quickly. I hate waiting weekly for TV shows, but that's a sign of a good show, so.
Yeah. So, that's Breaking Bad. Next week, I will hopefully have seen The World's End.
Yeah.
And you said you might go see your next.
I kind of want to see it, but.
I might go see that as well.
I probably won't get a chance. Like, I'm just very busy. I might see a movie or two. Who knows what it'll be. But, I mean, I just been busy with the new job, and I got the trip coming up, so.
Hey, you're going to...
Next week, dude.
The Caribbean or something like that?
Wait, is it next week? Yeah, dude, it's next week. Holy fuck.
Wait, what do you leave on Sunday?
I leave next Wednesday, so I'll be gone for next week's show.
All right.
Or next week's...
Perfectly Sane show. Yeah. Yep, all right. Well, hopefully we'll get you in if you do see a movie before... Get another movie dudes out, and then where are you going? The Caribbean, right?
Dominican Republic.
Oh, is it? Yeah, Caribbean.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun for you.
Except for the flight.
Right, you don't like to fly. So.
Not at all.
Are you going for a whole week or just?
I'm going till Labor Day.
Okay.
Like the second.
And then back to delivering mail.
Hopefully, unless they're like, oh, you don't have a job here anymore. Which would really suck.
That would be bad. Especially since you just, you left your previous job, so.
And moved, and all that, yeah.
Yeah. Alright, well, we'll be back hopefully next week with Movie Dudes. Follow us on Twitter, Movie Dudes, at Movie Dudes CS. Check out the website, right? We have Jeff's putting up his Breaking Bad commentaries on Sunday nights. We have Breaking Back and Forth on Mondays. Do that.
And we talk about movies occasionally, stuff like that.
Yeah, when we get out to see some.
Yeah.
I am going to see Riddick. I know that. I got a press screening for that. September 4th, so we'll be talking about that. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I enjoy the Riddick movies, for as cheesy as they are.
I need to sit down and watch them one day.
Pitch Black's really good.
I know, I've heard. I've heard from lots of people.
Chronicles of Riddick, not so much, but I enjoy the character, so.
Alright, either way, I'm going pee-pee, so.
We're out.
Later.
Movie dudes.